Something to be grateful for. Good morning. How are you this morning? It's great to hear other people's experiences of Cambodia. Good that have Dave connect with the team over there, obviously Annie and Lisa as well. I was there for a couple of days while they were there. Got to pick them up from the airport, which was nice, hang out and have breakfast. So yeah, good to sort of pass that baton over and let David and the team build some great relationships with an awesome group of people. They really are an incredible team and church family over there. So very, very exciting. So we're stepping in, as Dave said, this new series around gratitude. With gratitude, and I guess as I've reflected on this week, I kind of feel like it's a really good chance for us to just kind of slow down and reconnect, maybe rediscover something that I think sometimes, including me, we overlook or forget about or misplace, lose it somewhere, gratitude. And for those of you maybe who have sort of known me long enough would know that gratitude's a big thing for me. I talk about it a bit, don't practice it as much as I should. And I wonder if that's the same for us. Not so much about, you know, the kind of gratitude that you see on Instagram, you know, the thanks for that or, you know, that selfie on the mountaintop. But really, I guess, exploring something that I feel a little bit deeper, almost like a spiritual gratitude, a posture, if you like. Of gratitude, the kind I believe that really opens our hearts to the presence and kindness of God in a new and a fresh way as we sort of walk into this Christmas season. And we're going to start that kind of storytelling with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary the teenager, in fact, in the text that I want to explore. The ordinary village girl. The one probably that no one really expected to be noticed, seen, and used by God in the way that she was. And so if you've got Bibles on your phones or in your pocket, or I'm going to be sort of using some text out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm just going to refer to it as we go through this story. And just a couple of things I want to kind of bring to light in the context of this, what I would call like a real deep spiritual sense of gratitude connected to how God sees us. And so I guess the first kind of point that I want to make this morning around this gratitude space is that Mary was seen and noticed by God. You know, Mary's story begins with a bit of a shock, really. And now, this always does my head in a little bit, this whole idea of an angel appearing to Mary, this teenager from this little village that, like, it almost feels like maybe this was a common thing back in the day. You know, angels turning up at your front door with, here's some news for you. Certainly think my response to an angel appearing on my front door would be quite different to Mary's. Maybe there's some stuff that we don't read about that was kind of happening as well. But yeah, it feels like, you know, this angel popping in seemed kind of almost normal, even though she was afraid. She doesn't really argue. She doesn't like, no, show me your credentials. Where's your badge? Prove to me that you're an angel. But the angel appears to her and says this, greetings. And this is verses 26, 28. The angel appears to her and says, greetings, you are highly favored, and the Lord is with you. So Mary, this teenager, she wasn't extraordinary. She wasn't a rock star. She wasn't famous. She didn't have status or title. She wasn't a nobody. She was somebody, a somebody. She was somebody's daughter, somebody's sister, somebody's friend, and certainly somebody's fiancé. But she was just a poor teenage girl from an obscure little nowhere village, living a simple yet faithful life. And this is the thing for me about gratitude, is God notices, sees everyone. Even those in our world that feel unseen. The non-extraordinary. The broken, the imperfect, the simple, the shy, the behind-the-scenes person. The hidden, the quiet, the unassuming, the meek, the gentle, the humble. He sees us all. God sees you. And Mary, in her song later, says this: He has looked on, seen, noticed the humble state of his servant. God sees the unseen. He notices the unnoticed. He calls out the unassuming. And for me, that's where gratitude begins. Not in what I've done or who I am or what I've accomplished or when life gets easy or when the circumstances change, but when we realize that God sees us, notices us, knows us, comes near to us and calls us out. You know, as most of you know, I've spent 15, 16 years working, serving in Cambodia, working with young people that come from, you know, pretty tough environments, some of the poorest communities in Cambodia. And a lot of these young people that I've connected with over the years, they do hold a belief that they're unimportant, forgotten, invisible. And yet the moment someone genuinely sees them and listens to them and calls something out of them, everything changes. Their circumstances don't change, but they change. Something in them shifts. And sometimes, and I'm grateful that I get the opportunity to be that person for some young people, but this is what God does with us all the time, with you and me. He calls us, he sees us, and he calls us out into something. Mary's story is that story. Our story is that story. Grace always begins with being seen. A little bit later in the text, the angel tells her, "Do not be afraid." Yeah, right, okay. Whatever you say, angel. Not sure I'm buying into that, but do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You know, this unassuming teenager, faithful, not spectacular, finds favor with God. And we all live in that same favor, that sense of grace, that unconditional kindness of our God. She hadn't earned it. She hadn't done anything special. She wasn't chosen because she was the best or the most spiritual or the brightest. She was chosen because God is gracious. He saw her. He noticed her. He believed in her. And he lavished his grace upon her. And I think it's important that we remember that gratitude, it's not based on how good we are. And I think sometimes in ministry, and I know this is true for me over the years, we can get caught in the, I need to perform, I need to do more, I need to be this, I need to be that, do this and do that. This is what I've accomplished and this is, you know. But it's based on who God is and how good he is. We can slip into that, have to perform for God, impress him, be good enough. But gratitude for me comes when we stop and name the grace that we've already been given. You know, part of my working space these days is working kind of leadership, coaching, development, with kind of high-level leaders. And one of the things I often notice in those spaces is often unspoken weight of, I need to be more, I need to do more, I need to prove myself. And I've done that too, but for me, this deep spiritual gratitude interrupts that kind of drive of performance and accomplishment and be more and do more, with this kind of sense of, hang on a minute, what has God already done? What has God already given? How has God already been kind to me? What grace has already carried me? Who has God been to me? Who has God said I already am? And I believe Mary models this. She's overwhelmed, she's confused, she's unsure, but she's grateful. Not because she understood what was going on, not because she had all the answers, certainly not because she thought this was a great idea, getting supernaturally pregnant as a teenager in a village when she's engaged to be married. I'm sure in her human mind, this is not a wise move, God. But she recognized the grace and kindness of God, and in that space was grateful. And I think genuine gratitude, there's a link to gratitude, surrender, and trust. And even though this calling out of Mary for me is so radical and so out there, that Mary's response humbles me. You know, because her response is one of surrender and trust. And she does ask the question I'm sure most of us would. How will this be? She's not doubting, she's kind of asking for clarity, if you like. She's trying to understand in her human thinking how something impossible becomes possible. And then even in that sense of not knowing and not understanding and wanting an explanation, tell me how. And the angel does tell her that she's going to be impregnated by God. Okay. The young teenager from the village embraces this incredible sense of trust. She says, I am the Lord's servant. Let it be to me according to your word. Let it be. And I guess if there's a heart to this message, is this gratitude, genuine gratitude leads to surrender, which is a posture of trust. Gratitude becomes trust, and trust becomes let it be. You know, when I think about seasons in my life that have been challenging, and, you know, this year's had its fair share of leadership challenges and grief and pain of failure and uncertainty and the loss of relationship. And if I'm really honest with you, gratitude is not usually my first thought, action, thinking, or behavior. It's more frustration or disappointment or anger are probably the places I go. Doesn't necessarily become natural to me to, in a place of disappointment, to be grateful. I'm learning. I'm growing. But I'm certainly not there. Life can be frustrating. Does anyone know that? It can be disappointing. Does anyone know that? It can be slow. You can give your best, and sometimes nothing changes. You pour out your heart and still feel like you fall short. I feel like, for me at least, this year I've been at that place where you feel like you're standing on this edge of exhaustion, wondering if it's worth it. And yet, Jesus keeps calling me. Because it's not ultimately about me. It's about God's kingdom breaking into broken places and disappointed people and fractured communities through me. And that's the grace of God. That even in all of that space, at times when I don't feel enough or have the answer, or maybe I'm not really that grateful, that God still calls me into spaces and places and people and communities to be light. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this disappointment reality that I feel our world lives in at the moment. I was reading some statistics about it that they reckon by the age of 25, the average person has faced over 10,000 disappointments. Yeah, it's a lot, right? And I'm a little bit older than 25. So that's like rejections, betrayals, failures from small, you know, the first girl you ask out and get a knockback, and, you know, to big. Kind of like, man, it's no wonder our world is anxious and worried and afraid and confused. And God calls us to kind of enter into that space, you know, to be light and salt and hope and love and grace, because that is the kingdom coming on earth as it is in heaven. You know, we pray that, let your kingdom come. And Jesus goes, that's you. Yes, there's the supernatural and there's the Spirit of God moving and changing lives, but ultimately the biggest way the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven is through you and me. We are the kingdom carriers. Gratitude doesn't deny difficulty or pretend everything is okay. It says even in the unknown, like Mary, God is present. Even in the waiting, God is working. Even in the confusion and the disappointment, God is faithful. Mary trusted what she didn't yet understand. I wish I was more like Mary sometimes. You know, I was having a bit of a giggle when Annie was talking about her love for structure and certainty, and that's me, you know. I think we had a bit of a conversation about this over breakfast when we were there. You know, the biggest challenge for me when I first started traveling to Cambodia was the chaotic nature of Cambodia. The traffic, the people driving on the wrong side of the road and footpaths and back the wrong way, and like the foods, everything to me was like out of order, no structure, chaos. And for someone who loves their, you know, if I say I'm going to be there at 10, I'll be there at 10 to 10. In Cambodia, they say they're going to be there at 10. That could mean anywhere between 10:15 and 11:30. So for me, one of the biggest challenges was learning to be okay with uncertainty. And that's taken a while. But Mary trusted what she didn't understand. And more than that, that trust became worship. She sings her gratitude, the posture of worship. verses 46 to 49, Mary breaks into song. This young girl who carried a scandal on her shoulders but a saviour in her womb, sung. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The mighty one has done great things for me. I love where her focus is in this song. It's not, everything's easy now, it's all good. It's not, everyone's going to understand and support me and not talk about me behind my back and post stuff about me on Facebook. But he has done great things for me. Gratitude is not necessarily about what we wish God would do. It's about naming what he has already done and believing in what is to come. Where has he been faithful in your life? Where has he sustained you? Where has he been patient, gentle, merciful, and kind? And Mary teaches us that gratitude doesn't start with what we want God to change, but what God has already given, how God has already shown up, seeing us, noticing us, lavishing his grace upon us and calling us out so that he can send us in as carriers of his kingdom, light and hope. Think about where God has already been gracious to you. Provision, people, moments, strength, opportunities, forgiveness, unexpected grace. And come with a posture of gratitude to him. Let gratitude turn your heart toward God. You know, it's interesting, I was reflecting on this message and the song kept playing in my brain, the Beatles song, Let It Be. If you don't know that song, if you're under a certain age, have a listen to it this week with fresh ears. Let It Be is a reflection of Mary's words. The song talks about Mary. Whisper words of wisdom. Let it be. It's what Mary said. Let it be. A prayer of trust, a song of surrender. Let go and let it be. Let gratitude become your worship. Maybe not in a song that you sing, but in a posture that you live. You know, as Dave was saying before, you know, often I'm challenged by the sense of gratitude and joy that I experience hanging out with impoverished and disadvantaged young people in Cambodia. I work, do a bit of work with soccer over there with disadvantaged communities, and we use football as a means to gather and build community and give opportunities to young people. You know, and it's interesting, the little things, the clean shirt, the meal, the football pitch made of dirt and dust, and none of them have soccer boots on, just barefoot and ready to rock. But a chance to belong, a chance to be seen, a chance to be noticed, like the gratitude in the small things is so evident in their smiles and their high fives and their joy. Not because their circumstances are easy, not because their life has been fair, but because they know they are seen in that moment. They actually know that they matter. So today, I guess my heart is that we would rediscover or reflect on or know that God sees us, that he sees you. The God who favors you with grace that we didn't earn, the God who walks with us into the unknown. May gratitude open our eyes again. May gratitude soften our hearts. May gratitude lead us to trust. May gratitude awaken worship. And maybe for us, like Mary, to say and pray and sing, let it be. Let me pray for you. Jesus, I thank you that I know without any doubt that we can trust you. I also know that that's a challenge. It is not always easy to surrender and trust and say, let it be. In a world that we live in with so much uncertainty and doubt and confusion and conflict and disappointment, I pray that you would give us a fresh spirit and perspective and posture of gratitude. Grateful that we are seen, that we are noticed, and that we are called out and then sent into our world with gratitude, love, light, salt, hope, as carriers of the kingdom. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, Jesus, through us, through your church. Let it be through us. Amen.